everybody, welcome back to Ministry of the Body. And to those of you who are here for the first time, my name is Lox and welcome to the channel. So we are on episode number 6 of Obstacles and Choices. Yes, and today we're going to be talking about Esther and Mordecai, because these two people made some very important choices in the midst of a serious challenge that they were going through. And we are going to talk about the story right now. So now, the story of Esther, a popular story. But for those of you who do not know the story or not familiar with the story, I'll just go through it really quickly. So now, Esther is someone who is very highly favored by God, all right? And now, the setting of the story is in a kingdom where there was a king named Xerxes, otherwise known as Ahasuerus. And he was a king over 127 provinces, which range from India all the way to Ethiopia. This is a big kingdom. Now, this king one day threw a party and he said, okay, call my queen Vashti to come and perform for my guests. Queen Vashti said, no, I don't want to do it. Long story short, she eventually got kicked out of the palace. All right. Now, one of the king's officials thought it would be a great idea if we host a Miss Persia. Yeah, Miss Persia. Okay, the king's like, I love this idea. Maybe one of these people can be the next queen. Now, out of all those people, there was Esther, who had favor. Long story short, she became queen. It was obvious. She was beautiful. She had God's favor. She had the favor in people's eyes. Like, she was just amazing, all right? So she became the next queen. Now, Esther had an uncle named Mordecai, who worked on the outside of the palace, outside the gates. Now, there was then a gent named Haman. Haman didn't like Mordecai, and because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman, Haman made a decree that everyone who sees me must bow down to me, because he had the highest ranking under the king. So Mordecai was one of those who just would never bow. So now, long story short again, Haman decided that he's going to Google Mordecai, and then he found out, oh, okay, Mordecai is a Jew. Okay, I don't like these Jews because they probably all like Mordecai. They won't bow down to me. So he decided that, okay, let's plot to kill Mordecai and the Jews as well. But Mordecai was connected to the favor. He was related to the one who's connected to the favor. All right. Now, this meant that whatever plot that Haman had against Mordecai or the Jews, because the Jews were called the blessed nation because they're Israelites, it will never come to pass. No weapon formed against them should ever prosper. Do you get what I mean? So now, Mordecai, prior to all of these things, he had saved the king, all right? He unraveled a plot to kill the king, and then someone wrote it in the book of Chronicles, all right? And then now they said, okay, sharp, Mordecai saved the king. Let's write an affidavit, Nyana, close the book, put it aside. But one day, the night before Haman came to propose to kill Mordecai, the king was woken up at night, and then he was shown somewhere. He just said, bring me the book of Chronicles, and then he opened it. And somehow by God's grace, he landed on the passage where it spoke about Mordecai saving the king that day. So next day, Haman is coming there. He's excited because Mordecai is going to die, because the king trusts Haman. Haman is like the highest rank in the kingdom under the king. So as Haman is coming there to come and tell on Mordecai, the king says, hey, Haman, ain't like I was looking for you. Come through. Come this side. Come here. Look, man, what do you think we should do for a person who is so great, who has done something amazing? And Haman's like, who else could be amazing besides me? Obviously me. So it's like, listen, king, listen. You know what you must do? Let me tell you what you must do. You must get the king's horse, dress this person in the king's robes, get someone in high position to sing praises for this person and parade him throughout the whole city. All right. Obviously, Haman was giving the king something that he would love to do. He would love for himself, because this is for me, obvious. Then it's like, okay, fine, Fere, go and do that for Mordecai. Ooh, this guy must have had a stomach cramp same time. So long story short, he eventually took Mordecai and decided that, okay, let's just do what the king said, dressed Mordecai up and, you know, took him around the whole city screaming praises for Mordecai. So obviously he was so distraught, and it just made him more angry. But since Esther knew that, since Mordecai told Esther about the plot that Haman had, because he told the king that, listen, king, let's kill these Jews. These people are not good. They are foreigners. So next year at this date, we're going to ask that the whole city is allowed to purge the Jews. So the king said it's fine. But he didn't know that his own wife, Queen Esther, was a Jew. All right. So fine. Long story short, Esther eventually told the king, and the king decided what was angry with Haman, and the king eventually hung Haman on the contraption that he had made for Mordecai. All right. So now the reason why I told you the story is, number one, this book, as detailed as it is, there is not one place that explicitly mentions God's name, but we can see God's presence all over the story. His footsteps are every single place. Like how the king conveniently just gets woken up and he asks for the book of Chronicles, and then somehow he lands on the passage where Mordecai saves the king. And the next day, as Haman comes in, the king doesn't even let Haman speak first to say that I want to kill Mordecai. He says, wait, Haman, listen, I want to know, what do we do for someone who has done something great? And Haman thought it was himself, but this was God who was just putting everything together. And I want to let you guys know that sometimes, just like this book, you may not necessarily feel God in your situation. You may not necessarily hear him talking sometimes, but this doesn't mean that God isn't there. This book does not mention God at all, but here is God moving all the pieces because he loves this nation. He loves Esther, he loves Mordecai. So he's like, anything for my people I will do. So even you who's going through a challenge right now and you feel like I can't feel God's presence, and sometimes I can't hear God when I pray, I don't feel like, you know, my prayers are landing on ears, but know that just like this book, God is there. He's always there. And I want to read a verse for you guys in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Now, I want you guys to be convinced that God will never let you go through anything without him seeing. And when you call for help and say, God, I need your help, he will always show up in your situation all the time. All the time. All right. So that's the first point that I wanted to make. So now the second thing that I wanted to talk to you about was that the king clearly takes the book of Chronicles and he opens it up and he sees actions that Mordecai has done. And God is able to use these actions as a platform for Mordecai's miracles. Now, it's so clear to us that when we go through challenges, it doesn't mean it's not a time for us to sit down and fold our arms because we are waiting on the Lord. No. There are certain things that we have to do. When you understand the assignment and recognize God's hand in your situation, you start to prepare yourself for things or what's going to come next, all right? So there are people who wait and complain, and that's just perseverance, that's endurance, you get what I mean? And then there are people who wait and prepare themselves. Those people are truly waiting on the Lord because they understand what is going on in the situation, that God is about to do something in their lives, all right? Now, actions are very important. We don't sit down and fold our arms and do nothing in this situation. Sometimes God wants us to do certain things, and you will feel God speaking to you that, okay, I need you to do this thing so that I can enable this miracle. Because sometimes it is your actions that shows your faith. With me, when I was doing when I was applying for my master's, all right, first of all, I didn't qualify for my master's. My marks were not that great, all right? And I wanted to do my master's, but I'm like, okay, I don't qualify, and I just don't know where to start, all right? I decided that, okay, I'm not registered, I'm not qualified, there's no open door, like all the doors are shut on me. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go and download the brief, and then I'm going to type out a portfolio, because in order to actually be accepted for masters after you qualify, you have to type a portfolio, and then they're gonna review this portfolio and see if this portfolio makes sense, and if it's worth their time to be part of their master's program. So I'm like, okay, fine, I didn't qualify, it's cool, I'm not registered, I'm gonna start typing my master's proposal early. I started typing it because I was hoping that maybe God can use this, you know, as a way in. And as I was typing it, there were thoughts that were saying, dude, you're wasting your time, what are you doing, just stop, right? You're wasting your time, stop, you're typing a portfolio, a proposal for no reason. But I didn't listen to those voices. I was like, I'm gonna do this thing. And then I handed it in out of faith, hoping that maybe God will just hide my marks, and maybe I'll get in somehow. But long story short, my proposal ended up between two HODs, and they were discussing my proposal, and they called me into the office and they told me that, okay, let's do this master's thing for you. I'm like, oh my goodness. If it wasn't for that portfolio being typed, there would not be any discussions about me being in a master's. And the action that I took to type a portfolio while I was not registered, while there was no signs of them even saying, okay, you can just type something, you know, maybe we'll consider it. No one said that to me. I decided that I'm just gonna do this thing unqualified and just hand this thing in. And there it was. God used my portfolio and he circled it around HODs, and then they called me in, and then here I am doing a master's, you know. So this is the same thing that we need to apply in our lives. God uses our actions. He uses our actions to lift us to new levels. The same thing happened with Jesus. He had one conversation with a woman and she spread his name everywhere. He delivered a man who was possessed with demons and that man spread his name. And now because of this, I mean, Jesus didn't have social media to say, guys, at 7 o'clock tomorrow, meet me on the mount. All right, I'm going to be there. You guys are going to get healing. Prepare yourselves. Come with open hearts. All right. See you there. No. Jesus didn't have social media to advertise. No, it was his actions that pushed his ministry. The same thing happened with the lady with the jar of oil. I mean, guys, let's be honest. Someone comes to your house and says, okay, you are in debt and people are coming to take your sons because you can't pay your husband's debt. Okay, fine. That jar of oil that is there on your shelf, it's the only thing you have, but all this time that was the thing that was going to deliver you from the situation. All right, now Elisha says to her, take that oil, pour it in as many vessels as you can. But obviously, when you put 1 + 1 together in logic, you see the jar of oil, how small it is versus the vessels that you have to pour them in. Now the only thing that is preventing this lady from her miracle is action. The oil is anointed. It's ready to overflow. The vessels are empty. The jars are empty and ready to receive this oil. The only thing that is missing in this situation is her to actually pour it into the buckets. All right? Action. So as she takes that oil and actually starts pouring it into every vessel, there's the miracle taking place. It's in action. It's happening. And that's the same thing that we need to do. As soon as we get ourselves off our seats and we start doing things, there's action, making our miracles happen right there. And God can use your actions to save you in your situation that you are in right now. And this is the video that I had for you guys today. I'm going to keep it there. I'm going to leave it there. I hope that this encouraged someone. This helps someone out there. And remember, act. Do something. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and do that. God can use your actions as faith. So remember that your body is a ministry. And this ministry has actions that we have to do so that God can use this as our portfolio to send out to people. If you don't start doing things now, people will not hear of the great things that God is doing in your life or the great things that God wants to do in your life through your actions. So, what is your body saying to us?